Luke chapter 2, of course, the whole chapter is the Christmas story, and I'm just going to direct your attention to the last part of it. This was what the primary Sunday school lesson, this passage of Scripture was the primary Sunday school lesson on Sunday, and so we talked about Simeon, we talked about Anna, and I want to just use this to launch out what the Lord's laid on my heart for this morning. And I want to talk to you about the subject, who is Christmas for? Who is Christmas for? And of course, we find that answer in the Christmas story. And as we find that answer, we also learn a lot of truth as we think about who is Christmas for. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Of course, this is the end of what you might call the Christmas story there in Luke chapter 2. The first part of the chapter, we read about Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, and we read about the angels getting the visit from the shepherds getting the visit from the angels and how they came to Jerusalem and saw the little baby. Of course, you got to go over to Matthew to read the story of the wise men that came later and presented their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mentioned this Sunday that I was going to preach an illustrated message today, and I am, because I want to illustrate for you who Christmas was for. And I want to use the characters from the Christmas story and just make a few points of some lessons that we learn. Again, as we think about who it's for today. And I would say, first of all, that Christmas is for little babies. Of course, the little baby Jesus was, again, is what Christmas is all about. He came as a little baby. And I'm sure there were other babies born that time. Chantel's brother Herb was hoping that Eli would be the first baby born in 2009, you know, so he could win all the prizes that people give for having the first baby. But the Lord had other plans. But let me have little Aaron here. I'll use him for an illustration to start out with and remind you that Christmas is for little babies. Now, he doesn't understand what it's all about yet. I mean, at his house, there's something that wasn't there before the Christmas season came. A Christmas tree and a bunch of Christmas decorations, and we're going to my mom and dad's tonight, and so he'll see a little Christmas tree there and presents and he'll experience something that he's never experienced before. And again, he doesn't understand what it's all about. He doesn't understand why mom and dad might be a little more jolly at this time of year. No, not dad. But why people are a little bit sweeter, a little bit kinder, a little bit more loving, and that's, we should be that way all year, but at Christmas time, we seem to think about it more.
and are sweeter and kinder and more loving to one another. But I would just remind you that even little Aaron was born with a sinful nature. He got that from his dad and mom and from his grandpa and grandma, and he's got a sinful nature. Some of you that have kept him in the nursery, you know that he has a sinful nature. And there'll come a time, because he has that sinful nature, that he'll commit a sin and he'll become a sinner under the condemnation of God, as we all did at one time. And even though he doesn't understand it, he, just like everybody else, needs a Savior. And so Christmas is for him, because he needed somebody to come and die for his sins. He needed somebody to come and make him right with God. And so Christmas is for little babies. Again, they don't understand it. They see the tree, they see the lights, and they see all the presents. And, you know, they may smile and coo and give us some indication that they understand it, but they don't understand anything that's going on. But Christmas is for them and for all the little ones that don't quite understand it yet, but one day will, and will one day rejoice that Jesus came in the form of a little baby to live among us a sinless life so that he could go to the cross and die for us. Okay, Christmas is also for children. So I want all the kiddos to come up here, not teenagers, just everybody that's not a teenager, that's a child. Come on up here. Come on, McKenna. Not you, Larry. You sit down. Larry, sit down, Larry. Sit down. I'll get to you. All right. Now, Christmas is for all these little boys and all these little girls. And I think there were children involved in the Christmas story. You say, well, preacher, how can you say that? Well, let me just give you a couple of examples, I think, that how children were involved. I think the shepherds had children with them as they were watching the sheep. And I think out on the hillside, there were some little boys that were, and maybe some little girls, that were learning how to take care of sheep from their dads as they had learned from their dads. And maybe there were some grandpas out there, too, that were teaching their grandchildren how to be shepherds. And I think they were there. And when the angels came and made that announcement that a Savior is born and told the shepherds where to find him, that there were some little children there that heard that message and saw the sky full of angels, heard the angels sing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And when the shepherds went into Bethlehem to find this thing which was made known unto them, to find this little baby that the angels told them about, there were some children that went with them. You know, children are just by nature curious. I mean, they like to know what was going on. And so I think there was even children. Stay awake, Shaylin. Don't go to sleep yet. I know you had to get up early this morning. But I think in Bethlehem, as things started to happen around the stable, around the barn where Jesus was born, I mean, there was a lot of people there. And as the shepherds came into town and word passed what was going on, that there were some little children from Bethlehem that said, hey, Mama, can I just go down and see what's going on down there? If there was a guy like Jameson, I'm for sure he would want to get in on the middle of the action and see what was going on. And so I think there were children gathered around the manger and were there to see to witness the birth of the Christ child. And as they gathered around that manger again, they probably didn't completely understand what was going on. I mean, they sure had been taught by their parents that the Messiah was coming. They had been taught by their parents that they were looking for the Christ child to come. And, you know, one of the wonderful things about children, in fact, the Bible uses them as our example, is that they just have faith. They, you know, they just believe without anybody making them, without a lot of argument or convincing. They just believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. They just believe it. And the Bible says that, you know, for us to come to God, we need to have the faith of a little child. Now, I haven't rehearsed this with anybody this morning, but I just want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Hannah, when you got up this morning, did you worry that there was going to be breakfast or not? You didn't worry about it, did you? No, you knew you were going to eat. Did Dad make pancakes this morning? No, okay. But did you have breakfast? Oh, you didn't have breakfast? but you weren't worried about it, were you? Okay, well, let me ask another question. Maybe I should have rehearsed this. Are you worried about lunch? No, you're going to have lunch, right? Something, since you didn't have breakfast, you're going to have lunch. You're not worried about whether you're going to get lunch or not, right? Shaylin, are you worried about lunch? No. Evan, are you worried about lunch? You're worried about what to eat? Well, of course, boys think about that more than girls do. I mean, but you don't. But you're not, Brian, you're not worried about lunch, are you? McKenna, you know you're going to have something to eat, right? Yeah. Dominique, same for you, right? Yeah. See, they're not worried about what they're going to eat. They didn't worry last night about where they were going to sleep. They're not worried about where they're going to sleep tonight. They just have a childlike faith that God is going to take care of them, that God is going to give them what they need. Now, I know God uses parents and grandparents, but none of these children go to bed at night worried about, you know, where they're going to sleep. They don't go to bed worried about what they're going to eat. They don't go to bed worried about, you know, having clothes to wear. They have a simple, childlike faith that God is going to take care of them, that God is going to provide what they need. And they may not be able to quote the verse from Philippians chapter 4:19 where the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." They may not be able to quote that verse, but they live it. Because they don't spend 1 second worrying about the basic needs in life. Because they know God's going to provide it. Again, they may depend on their parents, and they do depend on their parents for that. But they have the simple childlike faith that we need just to know that God's going to take care of us. And so Christmas is for them. Because it reminds them that there's a God in heaven who not only gave us what we need in the form of a Savior, but gives us what we need every single day to live and to survive in this world. And they don't spend 1 minute worrying about it. Wouldn't it be wonderful to trust God the same way? Wouldn't it be wonderful just to know that regardless of what happens in our life, God is going to take care of us? To have the simple faith that these children do. And again, not spend 1 second concerned about it, but just knowing that God is God and he's going to take care of us. Okay, thank you. So Christmas is for children. Next, I would tell you, Christmas is for teenagers. So let me have the teenagers come up here. All right? DJ and Kaylina, teenagers. Now, was there teenagers in the Christmas story? Name me one teenager in the Christmas story, you think. Mary. Mary was a teenager. Teenagers, you know, I heard somebody say when a kid turns to be a teenager, you got to put them in a box with a hole in the end of it. And then when they get 16 or 17, you ought to cover up the hole. But teenagers, I'm just kidding, DJ, you know that, don't you? But teenagers are at that point in their life where they're searching for God's will. I think Mary was. She was searching for God's will for her life. The angel came to her and said, Mary, God's chosen you for a very special job. You're to be the mother of the Christ child. You know the story. Mary said, how could that be? And again, a miracle took place in the virgin birth. But Christmas is for teenagers, and the Christmas story reminds us, as it reminds DJ and Kaylina, that God has a plan for each of our lives. As they're teenagers, you know, and maybe they haven't thought about it much, but they will as they get older into their teens. What does God want me to do with my life? How does he want me to spend it? What career? Will I get married? Who will I marry? Will I go to college? Which college will I go to? What will I be? What does God want me to do? And as Christmas is for teenagers, all of us ought to be reminded that God doesn't leave those decisions up to us. He's got a plan. He knows. For example, if God's will, DJ, that you get married, he's already got somebody picked out for you. You believe that? Yeah, he's already got somebody picked out for you. Now, see, I'm sort of glad that we got away from mom and dad's picking out our brides and our husbands, although sometimes I think they could probably do a better job. But I'm glad we got a God that still does, and a God that has a plan for our life. And we just need to find out what that plan is and to live it. And Kaylina, regardless of what God wants you to do in your life, what he wants you to be, where he wants you to live, he will make that known to you if you seek it. And I would remind you and all of us that every experience in your life, God is using to prepare you for what he wants you to be. I mean, everything. We may think there's just, you know, things happen in our life, they're just accidents and they're insignificant. And I would submit to you, no, God uses every single incident, every single event to prepare us. Just like he did Mary, to prepare her to be the mother of the Christ child, he uses every event in our life to prepare us for what he wants us to do next, for what he wants us to be. And so Christmas is for teenagers. Thank you. All right. Then Christmas is for young adults. Now, I won't make all the young adults stand, but if I come up here, but I'm going to ask you to stand for a minute. So if you're older than a teenager and 50 or under, would you stand? Yeah. Oh, yeah, all those people jump up. Robin's back there. Oh, I'm a young adult. Okay, now, I believe that Joseph was in this category. I believe he was not a teenager. I believe he was, you know, probably in his early 20s, something like that. So he was a young adult. Now, and Joseph was put to the test. You remember the test that he was put to? I mean, the young lady that he was engaged to, espoused to, was pregnant. He didn't understand how that could be, and yet God came to him and spoke to him in a dream and told him, you know, what was going on. And Joseph had faith to believe God, and he was in that state where his faith was growing. Where God was putting him to the test, and as he obeyed God and trusted God, his faith grew. And I would say to all the young adults that are standing, that's what's probably going on in your life. There are struggles that you are going through. There are trials that you have gone or will go or are going through. And God uses those situations to build your faith. He lets those things, sends those things into our life to test us, to see if we're going to trust him, to see if we're going to be obedient to what he wants us to do. Can you imagine how different the Christmas story would be if Joseph
would have said, I don't believe God, and I'm not going to take Mary to be my wife. I mean, it would have messed up the whole Christmas story. And so Joseph was obedient, and his faith grew. I mean, when he took Mary as his wife, the next test of his faith was when God came to him and said, hey, you need to leave tonight because somebody's going to try to kill this child. And so I believe, I don't think he waited till the next morning when he got that dream. He woke Mary up, got the baby, and they left for Egypt before the sun rose. I mean, in a series of tests, Joseph learned to be obedient and learned that God could be trusted because he was tested over and over and over, just like you are, will, have been tested, so that God can prove to you that he will keep his word, he will do what he says. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Now, so those were the young adults. Now I want to talk to the middle age adults. Okay? So if you are older than 50, but let's see. I got to be careful here. Less than 70. Okay? How about that? Over 50, but less than 70. Would you stand? Russ is looking around to see what category Brother Leonard's in. Okay, now I'm standing in this category as well. Middle-aged adults. And I would, in this category, I would put the wise men. Okay? They might have been some older guys in their 70s. I'm not sure. But for my Bible study today, I'm going to say the wise men were the middle-aged adults. They had come through that time as young adults where they had been tested. They had proven God over and over and over again and know that God works. And the wise men came, as we know the story, they came and they worshiped God. They worshiped that little Christ child. And they were willing to give to that little Christ child the best that they had. No reservation, nothing held back, because they had proven that God is a God that's worthy of worship. And you know, and again, I'm not saying that young adults and even the children don't worship God. Please don't take me wrong. I'm just saying when you get to an age in your life where, you know, you've gone through many of the tests and many of the trials. And again, I know there's still tests and trials going on in our life. But, you know, we've seen a lot of them. And we know that God keeps his word. And we know that God is worthy to be worshiped. And we know that God deserves our very best. And we know that giving our very best to God, we should, because that's what he deserves. And by giving to him and showing him that he loves us, we know, like the little children, that God's going to meet all our needs anyway. So there's no use holding it back. No use keeping it to ourselves. Let's just give it to him as an act of worship, as an act of love, knowing that he's a God that deserves it. Okay, thank you, middle-aged adults. Now, I'm going to ask all the senior adults to stand just for a moment. Okay? If you're 70 and higher. All right. Now, again, in the Christmas story, the senior adults were represented by Simeon and Anna. And I was thinking about it last night a little bit. You've been through the trials and the tests. And again, I know some of you, you know, you never get out of that time where God tests you because he wants your faith to grow. But you've been through many of them. And you've proven God over and over and over and over again. And in the Christmas story, Simeon and Anna were just waiting for God to fulfill his promise of the Christ child. He promised Simeon, you're not going to die until you see him. And when Simeon held the little baby, he said, hey, I'm ready to go now, God, because you've kept your promise. You've kept your promise. And I can't help go back and draw the parallel between this group and the little children, because when you get to be a senior adult, many of them, if not all of them, have that same simple childlike faith, like Anna and like Simeon, that God's just going to do what he promised that he's going to do. There's no doubt in your mind. There's no doubt that God's not going to do what he promised to do. And so at Christmas time, when we think about the senior adults that took part in the Christmas story, they were just looking for God to keep that last promise. They were just looking for that Christ child to come. And in simple childlike faith, as I mentioned Sunday morning, Anna, the Bible says about her, she stayed at the temple all the time. And I think Simeon came every single day because he didn't want to miss God fulfilling his promise at the temple. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. So, who's Christmas for? Christmas is for the little baby and the child and the teenager and the young adult and the middle-aged adult and the senior adult. It's for all of us. And it reminds us that, first of all, we all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. We're all sinners. We've all deserved that penalty for sin. But God sent a Savior. And so we all need him. And I hope this morning, as I look around, I think everybody is, but I hope everybody here this morning knows that Savior. And you know him for yourself. You've trusted him. You've asked him to be your Savior. Also reminds us that God has a plan for each of us. For little Aaron and for Reg, who's maybe the oldest one here today, probably is, but God's still got a plan for our life. I know we look forward to heaven. I know we look forward to going to heaven. But until God calls us, he's got something he wants us to do, something he wants us to accomplish. And we just need to be obedient and go through those times of testing so our faith will grow, so that we'll learn more and more and more and more that God is trustworthy. He can be trusted. He will take care of us. And he'll give us what we need day after day after day, and that he will keep every promise, including that last one that he makes to all of us. Either he'll come and get us in the rapture, or we'll pass through that valley of the shadow of death and we'll go to our home in heaven that he's prepared for us. And so who's Christmas for? It's for you and me. It's for everybody. Regardless of how old, regardless of what station we are at life, it's for everybody. We got a God that's a good God that loves us, that can be trusted, and will keep every promise that he's made. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Thank you for being here this morning.